Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, the founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Hello, everyone. This is the Life Coach Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Jan Jaffe, and I'm your host. Today, we're discussing procrastination, and I'm delighted not only to be joined by my regular co-host, Charissa Sebastian, but also by a new co-host, Susan Gonzalez. Welcome to Think Tank. I'll just take a moment to introduce myself. As I mentioned, my name is Jan Jaffe, and I'm a graduate of Northwestern University, from which I hold both my bachelor's and master's degrees. I'm also an IPEC-certified professional coach, Energy Leadership Index master practitioner, and a core dynamic specialist. I had a successful international career as a concert and opera singer and voice and masterclass teacher, which was cut short by traumatic brain injuries. These TBIs, as they're called, altered my life. I lost language for 6 weeks and was thrilled after 4 months when I was finally able to walk with the aid of a walker. My recovery took many, many years and was extremely difficult, but as a result, I've come to discover many things about myself and life, namely what it is to lose oneself, definition, career, and purpose in life, and feel totally lost, that there is great strength in vulnerability, that there can be great opportunity and challenge, strengths I had never known I had, the true meaning of resiliency, and that I'm very good at picking myself up, dusting myself off, and hurling myself forward. I don't mean to make it sound as though it was an easy or straightforward process. It most certainly was not. With Forward to Success, I'm dedicated to helping professional women achieve optimal success, realization of their potential, and passion, purpose, life balance, and well-being in every aspect of their lives. You can contact me at info@forwardtosuccess.com. At some time in most everyone's life, procrastination plays a part. We know we should get into action, but something is holding us back. It can take a great deal of creativity sometimes to avoid doing something we either don't like to do or making a decision we're uncomfortable making. We put it off to later, but what if later never comes? What are the effects, sometimes disastrous, of this behavior? What if an ER trauma center practiced this type of behavior? Obviously, that's an extreme example, but procrastination can have far-reaching negative consequences. And sometimes we may not even be aware that we're engaging in this behavior. So what can we do? In this episode of Think Tank, we discuss what comprises procrastination, how to identify the behavior, its sometimes disastrous results, and possible solutions. Our show today is entitled Procrastination: The Why, the How, the Effect, and Solutions. And now I'd like to introduce my co-hosts. Charissa, please tell our listening audience a little about yourself.
Sure. Hi, everyone. I am Charissa Sebastian, and I'm a life and leadership coach for women, and I'm also a speaker and writer and the co-owner of Stop, Smile, Breathe Women's Retreats. My passion is helping women break free from being stuck, overwhelmed, and stressed to live a life of passion, purpose, joy, and fulfillment. And my focus is in the area of career transition and advancement and also work-life balance. And I'd also love for you to check out my website if you'd like to find out more about me and get in touch with me. And that is charissasebastian.com. Thanks, Jan.
Thank you, Charissa. And now, Susan, please introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. I'm Susan Gonzalez, and I, too, am a professional coach, and I own a company called Susan Gonzalez Enterprises. It was the result of about my 20-plus years of senior-level experience in business and talent development, and a desire to help people live the most satisfying lives possible for them. And so I actually help my clients get out of their own way so that they can make their mark. I am author of a book called Make It Your Mark, and if you want to learn more about me, you can find information on my website. It's makeityourmark.com.
Thank you so much, Susan. We are so excited and delighted to have Susan Gonzalez joining the Think Tank team today and onward. I would like to invite our listeners to call in with any questions or comments. We welcome your calls, questions, comments, and contribution to the discussion. The number here is 646-716-9397. Again, that is 646-716-9397. Procrastination is one of those things that most, if not all of us, have experienced in our lifetimes. It can be as innocuous as putting off doing laundry, spending too much time on Facebook, or as disastrous as not making loan or credit card payments, or even making vital decisions. Sometimes procrastination can be a way of passively making a decision. There are almost as many reasons for procrastination, as there are personalities. So what are some of the reasons people procrastinate, and how does procrastination affect our lives and our sense of self? Charissa, would you like to begin with this?
Sure, and I am so excited that we're doing this topic today, Jan, because I think it's so relevant to everyone, and I'm definitely looking forward to hearing both your view on this and Susan's as well. And like you said, there's so many reasons. You know, to go back to answer your question, there's so many reasons why people procrastinate, and I'll just go through some of the ones that, you know, come to mind immediately. And one is complacency. Like, if, for example, we don't feel like we need to do whatever task that we're trying to do at that particular time. For example, putting off a dentist checkup. So if it doesn't seem urgent to us, we can kind of be complacent, about the task and then put it on the back burner. Another reason is avoiding discomfort. And knowing that whatever task that we have to do or decision we have to make might take us out of our comfort zone. So this might be something like ending a relationship or maybe quitting a job. And then the next thing that comes to mind is a fear of failure or a fear of success. And a good example of this is starting a new business or thinking about starting a new business or maybe even making a big move. And that's where this fear of failure or even fear of success can come into play. Another reason that we could procrastinate are emotional barriers. Sometimes we just get too tired or too excited even and stressed, and all of those things can prevent us from taking action. And then the next one is what's called like an action illusion, and this is where we keep doing busy tasks rather than tackling the one task that we're really procrastinating on. So we kind of try to trick ourselves into thinking that, oh, yeah, you know, I'll get to that, but right now I have all of these other things to do, and I'll get to the one that, you know, I maybe should be doing or I'm procrastinating on a little bit later once I'm done with everything else. And I know I've certainly been guilty of this one. So, yeah, that's one. And then just two more that come to mind. One is a lack of confidence in our ability. Sometimes we, you know, tend to doubt ourselves and we hold back from doing something if we don't feel confident taking on a task. And, of course, that goes back to part of your question, which is how does it affect our lives and our sense of self? Mm. And, of course, it doesn't help if we hold back and doubt our ability, because then that affects our self-confidence even more. And then, lastly, it's the overwhelm as a result of having too many options and not even knowing what that next step is. So we kind of hold back, and rather than trying to move forward and figure it out, we just stay a little bit stuck and procrastinate. And then, of course, it affects us because we start to feel guilty, and then our to-do list grows, and that can lead to us feeling very overwhelmed, stressed, and frustrated.
Wow. You have covered so many things, and I'm putting check marks here thinking, that's me, yeah.
I think I can identify with probably all of those at some point.
Wow, yeah, complacency, like going to the dentist, and I'm thinking, yeah, that's right. I keep putting off that appointment. And avoiding discomfort, you know, getting out of our comfort zones, which are actually keeping us uncomfortable, you know, like making a decision about a relationship, either ending it or even starting it, and what to do about a job. As you mentioned, fear of failure and fear of success, which also can keep us paralyzed. And emotional barriers, and I love the action illusion, the, you know, keeping yourself so busy that you know, it's another way to trick yourself into avoiding something you really don't know what to do about, that you don't, you know, you're, because often decision-making is such a part of where we procrastinate, or it's such an essential part of not procrastinating and getting out of procrastination. And then you said lack of confidence in our abilities, which is, you know, confidence is huge, and it just becomes like a snowball effect, how it affects the rest of us. We start feeling guilty with this, with the overwhelm, and you know, we get stuck if we have too many options, and we don't want to deal with any of it. We don't want to make a decision for a lot of reasons, because often that making that decision, we may not have confidence, going back to confidence, in our ability to make a decision, so we get stuck. Wow, such great stuff. Susan, I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are on all of this.
I was checking off that list as well, and the dentist example for me was top. I thought, how did you know this about me? It's so true, though. I was really excited about this topic for this call because it's so important in what we do. And I thought, what's the science behind procrastination a little bit here? What is it about it? So what drives us as humans? You know, what's that in our mind that makes us procrastinate? We all have it. And I read this great article about dopamine and this short-term fix that we have, because when we put off something we don't want to do, we tend to replace it with something that makes us feel good or is better than at least the thing we don't want to do. So if I don't want to go to the dentist, well, watching that really fun cat video on Facebook, give me that little fix for the day. It's that short addictive rush of dopamine, too, that I think is one of the other reasons why we do it. Our brain has the chemicals working in it, and so it rewards us for procrastinating and kind of keeps us in that put-it-off mode.
Oh, my goodness, the cat video thing. Yes. I just laughed because I know I'm not even a big cat fan, but I love those cat videos, and now there are the pig videos and all. I just love it all. But yes, it's true. The dopamine fix, I had never thought about that before, but that's what a lot of that is about. And we're getting that fix, so it's like you said, it's that feel good sensation, and we don't want to get out of it. It's keeping us in that uncomfortable comfort zone, where we may feel good for the moment. It's almost like a drug in a sense. And there are drugs that raise your dopamine levels. We can get into a whole conversation about that, the Parkinson's drugs. But anyway, when the dopamine is raised, it's short term. But then we feel, you know, we feel in a sense often worse afterwards, because now we've wasted time and we still haven't gotten moving on what we need to do, what we know we want to clear out of the way. And then, because the interesting part is that when we do tackle something that we've been putting off, we often feel a lot better, but it's not in that dopamine sense. So it's a feeling of accomplishment, a feeling of calm and peace. So that's a huge thing. You know, we have a call right now. So, and the caller's been waiting patiently almost from the beginning of the show. So I'm going to bring this caller on. Caller, your number ends in 0669. Are you there? Hello? Caller, 0669. Your number ends in 0669. Hello? I think our caller, I'm going to put the caller on hold, and I'll try to get back to our caller because they're still there, but I think they might have left their phone for a moment. So procrastination is defined as delaying or postponing something. It can be challenging to even recognize that we're engaging in this behavior at times because although most of us have been trained to be in motion, a sort of busy, busy, busy mentality, as Charissa had mentioned, we have also been trained to develop and rely on intuition and inspiration when it comes to making decisions. So how do we know the difference between pondering and procrastination? Susan, I have a feeling that you have a lot to say on this.
I do. I think it's a great question to ask because it's so difficult to know. When is it that you're trying to think something through, and when is it that you're really putting it off? And and how do you tap into those signals? And when you think about something that that you have complacency around, or maybe it's a task that you have no passion around it, and now the thinking behind it is, it's a task I have to overcome, and so I don't want to overcome it. It's hard. It has so much to it. In that case, are you just putting it off because it's not pleasurable and it takes so much out of you and you have that belief going on that you have to overcome it? Or is there something about it that you're not really sure? Is it a skill set you need to have? Do you need more information before you can make that decision? Is it just a question of, look, this is one of those things that you're making more of it than it is. If you just do it, you'll be done in 5 minutes, as opposed to the 3 hours of drama around putting it off, or the 3 weeks of pushing it to the side and moving it. So the tipping point question comes in. Where's the tipping point? When do you go from pondering about it? Like we say in the South, are you pondering it? Are you putting it to the side? So just coming back to that place of saying, what's the real issue here? Do I really need to reflect on this about what's the best way to do it? Is it a case of making the time, so I need to look at what's on my calendar and set some things aside so I can devote to it? Or is it just that I'm now procrastinating making the decision because I just don't want to do it? It's no fun.
Boy, a lot comes to mind. That is so great because, you know, that is often, we're not sure. We just know we don't want to do something and we don't examine it further. But I'm thinking about, for example, tasks that, you know, I guess I have to overcome, which is something like sometimes just doing my laundry, getting it together, going down to the laundry room in my building, and maybe it's a busy time and it gets a little crazy down there. Or, you know, do I have enough time? Or just even like house cleaning. Sometimes it's something that just seems, the more we ponder it, you know, sometimes the more you ponder something, the bigger the task becomes. So I guess I'm wondering, too, when someone gets stuck in that pondering place, you know, Susan, how would you suggest that they get beyond that?
That's the place to stop and say, okay, what am I thinking? You know, what's the holdup? What's the real hold up here? Sometimes it could be you're not the person that needs to do it. So we're so service helpers. We want to help everyone. We take a lot of things on, and maybe you've taken too much on your plate. And one of the reasons why you're not doing it is you really don't have time, or you don't need to be the one who does it. Is there someone else that loves this kind of activity and could take care of it, and it would be a joy for them to do? Then perhaps it's a time to question, what are the things that I can delegate? Why does it have to be me doing all of this? And it might not. Another thing to think about in that moment when you're trying to figure out, especially something that's been on your list for a long time, does it really need to be there? Is it still a priority? Does it still have that importance that it had before? Was it just something at one point that got put on my list to get it done? And the reason why I'm not doing it is it really doesn't need to be done. Mm. It's not a priority focus for me. And I can drop that one off. Cleaning out your inbox of emails. I coach a lot of people around this, and a lot of executives, as a matter of fact, their inboxes have thousands of emails in them. It's like, so what is the point of that? And what kind of a time robber is that for you? And they procrastinate deleting anything, that feeling that they might need it later. So it's another way of looking at that then is, how else could you get that information? So can you get this done right now by clearing out your inbox, knowing that you'll get that information again if it's really important and you really need it? So stopping and asking yourself these questions, why, what's going on? Why am I not doing it? So is it a case of I don't want to do it, and so I'm just putting it off, and I can envision the end result. How much better am I going to feel when it's done? So take yourself to the future. I've cleaned out my inbox, and the dopamine you feel thinking that it's done could help trigger you into action. So envision it to the future and take yourself there and put that intention behind it. And then the other one is just examining, why is it really on your plate in the first place? Why is it something that you have to do?
Oh, that's great. That's great. It really simplifies it. Getting to, okay, how am I going to feel when it's done? As opposed to what is holding me back? Just starting from there, but going to the end result, how am I going to feel so I can get that feeling of relief, and understanding also whether or not it's important anymore, if it's even a valid priority for me anymore. Maybe that's part of the reason it's still on my list. It's not important to be done anymore. So those are two really great tools to use in cleaning things out, like my inbox, as a matter of fact. yes, that you brought up another one. Are you like looking over my shoulder here? But anyway, call the dentist and clean out my inbox. So, Charissa, I'm wondering what you have to say about this.
Oh, those were all brilliant points, Susan. Both you ladies brought up some really, really good points. And I particularly love what you said about the reflection pieces and about taking time to stop and question and really think through, why is it that, you know, we're procrastinating, and is it a priority? And, of course, the big why, right? What is the reason that I feel like I have to take this on? And then going to that next question that you mentioned about delegating. Maybe it's not something I need to have on my plate, or maybe it's even it needs to be lower on the priority list. I think all of those are really good ways to deal with that kind of situation where you feel kind of stuck and you're in that place of procrastination and not quite sure how to move forward. And then, of course, thinking also about, like you mentioned, how will you feel when it's actually done? Thinking about the end result and focusing on that so that it, you know, helps to motivate you to move forward. I love all of that. It's so true. And a lot of what you just said has helped me kind of sort through all of those things that I have going on in my mind so I can actually move forward. And then one of the other things, just in terms of reflection as well, is to ask yourself, another question to ask is this decision or is this action that I need to take, does it need to have a deadline? So does it need to be done by a certain time, or there's going to be consequences of that action? And if that's the case, then, you know, you probably do want to set some kind of plan in motion to make sure that that gets done or gets delegated to somebody else. And that takes me back to the question, Jan, of what you were saying about pondering versus procrastination. And that's one way to kind of get out of the, you know, if you are kind of pondering and trying to figure out, okay, do I need to take more time on this? Well, if there's going to be consequences as a result of you taking more time to ponder, then you may want to start thinking about taking action or delegating or doing some of those other things to just have it taken care of. But there is definitely value, for sure, in taking time to ponder. I think both you ladies mentioned this, to, you know, tap into your intuition and help you make the right decision for you. Because sometimes, and I know this has been my experience, especially in the business on the business side of things, where I feel like I was putting off maybe contacting someone or reaching out to someone or an organization. And after the fact, I come to find out that when I did actually get around to doing it, the timing was much better than if I had done it, you know, way up front. So sometimes it does help. So it's one of those intuitive things, because, you know, something in me was just like, oh, no, you know, you don't need to do that right now, even though logically my brain was saying, that's on your to-do list, you need to do it. But something inside me was like, oh, just hold off a little bit. And so, that can be really tough. It can be really tricky because we're so much in the habit of wanting to check things off our to-do list. that it's difficult sometimes to take the time and say, you know what, maybe this, it's okay to be in, on the back burner and really to go with your gut and go with your intuition. That's not an easy thing, but sometimes it is good to ponder and really ask yourself, is this something that I need to be doing now?
Oh, excellent point. How intuition can come into it as well. And I just loved what you said about this, that you know, the consequences of either waiting, pondering, sometimes it's a luxury almost that we, you know, if we're looking at our timeline, what, you know, does something have a deadline? So that really can help us sometimes get moving. And that's why I think there are a lot of students who wait, for example, to the last minute to study or do papers because they're procrastinating, and that is they need that motivation of a timeline and a deadline. So and some people do things immediately, and it just part of it is knowing who you are and how you work best. Some people need that, I don't want to say stress, but that motivating factor of a deadline to really get their energy going. They may not have the right energy if they feel that they have a lot of time, but if they have that sense of urgency, it sometimes brings up all kinds of creativity. So people operate in different ways, and part of all of this is knowing how you work best and then honoring that, because what works really well for someone else may not work for the next person, and trying to work on someone else's timeline doesn't necessarily work for all people. Everybody has a different way of working, or let's put it this way, not everyone has the same way of working efficiently and at their best, and trying to be something that you're not just ends up knocking your own self-esteem down, brings up feelings of guilt, and then can also result in more procrastination. So part of that is knowing who you are and how you work best. I just wanted to invite our callers again to call in with any questions or comments. The number here again is 646-716-9397. Again, 646-716-9397. I wanted also to invite our earlier caller to call back in again. Your number, I believe, ended in 0669. Your area code was 845. We did try to connect you, but I think you had stepped away from your phone at that moment, and then your call did become disconnected. So please call us back again. Your number ended in 0669. It started in 845. So we would love to hear from you and anybody else who wants to participate in this conversation. Here on the Life Coach Radio Network, we are proud to have as our sponsor, Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet, offering customers a new way to enhance and enrich their lives every day. Audible is the preeminent provider of spoken word audio products from which are included more than 100,000 audio programs from more than 1,800 content providers. Receive a free audiobook with your 30-day trial when you sign up with Audible today at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. Here are some Audible books on procrastination. Eat That Frog, 21 Great Ways to Stop Procrastinating and Get More Done in Less Time. This book is written and narrated by Brian Tracy. Time Management from the Inside Out, written and narrated by Julie Morgenstern. Ready, Set, Procrastinate. 23 anti-procrastination tools designed to help you stop putting things off and start getting things done by Akash Kuria, and Procrastination, Why You Do It, What to Do About It Now by Jane B. Burka and Lenora M. Yuen. So don't forget to sign up for a one-month free trial to get your free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. Audible.com, making listening a tool for life. And now back to our show. Okay, so now we've identified that we're procrastinating and recognize that we want to take action. Is there any way to make change? After all, personality and habit are strong factors in how we behave. Many of us have beliefs and perceptions that dictate our behavior and how we view our world and our place in it. So what are some possible approaches and solutions to procrastination? Who would like to go first with answering this one?
I'll jump in there. This is Susan.
Okay, Susan?
Because it's such a fun topic to think about. So how do we break our procrastination habits? And what do we want to do to help ourselves get the things done that we want to get done? And I think you said something that was so key, Jan, earlier. It's that we're all different personalities and we're all different people. And what works for one person may not be the thing that would work for me. But perhaps I can take little tidbits from it that someone else uses and apply that to my specific situation. So when you think about a habit that you're in, and I love the one that you used about the students waiting until the last minute to get the work done. As long as it works, it's great. But shift that into a workplace scenario and you're on a team and you work best under tremendous pressure to get it done, but the people around you don't. And they're in such a stress state because they're waiting for this other person to bring it together. And there's that big concern that it's not. So that could be a time when you're like, you know, maybe I want to break my habit or change it just a little bit for this scenario so that we have a little wiggle room. Because what if I miss something? There's no time to adjust. So one of the first things to do is, how's it working for me? And how's it working for others around me? Excuse me. If you find yourself in a place where you're like, you know what, it's not working that great, I'm getting a little too close to the wire each time, how can you shift yourself out of it? And one of the first steps to take is to actually think about what is the ideal outcome you'd like to have. So if it's to get the project done without a lot of angst around it, and I want to keep my coworkers happy and loving me, then that's the purpose that you want to start with, is now I'm going to start working on this, and one of the first steps I can take is shift my deadline back or forward. So if it's really due 2 weeks from now, my deadline is to have my part done 2 days from now. And then hold yourself to that deadline, the same feeling that you had around meeting the other deadline. Put that same feeling there so that it will trigger those strengths that cause you to be able to work so great under pressure to kick in gear right there and get it done. Or maybe you make your deadline 3 days from now, but you're purposeful in setting it as that is a hard, fast deadline for me to complete my portion of it.
Oh, wow, excellent. I love the fact that you actually, what you were bringing up was the difference between something that just affects yourself when you're working alone, basically, or you don't have other people that it affects, versus people who are leaders, and it's part of it. We're all leaders, leaders of either a team or, you know, at work, or leaders of ourselves, of our lives, and, you know, and how teams work together. So, you know, what I do affects the people around me, and if like you said, if it's causing a lot of stress or angst for the people around me, that's not a good situation in the long run. So, about shifting yourself, shifting out of that into a situation which will make it a better work situation for the people around you, and you know, as you said, shifting the deadline forward. And it's interesting because that speaks to time management. And so often, time management is really a big part of what either comes out of procrastination or what is feeding procrastination. I mean, that can be a whole other show, time management. But sometimes I know for myself that if I leave something, I keep thinking, oh, I have time. Oh, I have time to do this. And then I'm up against a deadline. And I don't like the stress that that provides for me. I can get it done, and I can work well in that situation. But I have come to find that I work in a more relaxed manner when I do something right away. And especially if other people are involved, it works best for everyone, because then everybody else has time to handle an assignment that maybe I'm leading in their own way. They can show up. It gives them the opportunity to show up whatever way they like to process something and to prepare for something. And this way I'm able to calmly provide that for everyone. And I can do a good job, even though my normal intention or not necessarily intention, but the way that I was so used to doing things in the past, maybe as a student, was I was one of those people that was up all night before an exam or doing a paper right towards the end. And I was an excellent student. I'm not saying I wasn't, but that pressure apparently was good for me, or I thought it was good for me. I liked challenges, but I really like calm and sanity in my life, and I find that now that working differently is preferable, and certainly preferable as you know, in anything that I'm leading and when I'm working with a team. Also, people have problems with time management, maybe getting ready to go somewhere, so they'll procrastinate leaving or getting ready. They'll do other things. And then they suddenly realize they're out of time. So sometimes for that sort of procrastination, like you said, Susan, moving a time up. So instead of booking things in your calendar, say you have an appointment at 1, put it in there for 12:30, so that in your book you see, okay, I have to my appointment's at 12:30, so you're preparing. Or you're even almost playing a game with yourself, even though you may be aware of it, but you are preparing for your procrastination habit, and so that way you have moved your deadline, as you said, forward. And so you have a certain amount of procrastination time, but you've given yourself a different timeline, if that makes sense. So
yeah,
thank you so much, Susan. Yeah, thank you so much. Do you have any other wonderful gems there to share with everyone?
I do. I have another one. When you are preparing to focus on the task at hand, so if the issue is you are someone, you start it and then you're easily distracted, and again, Facebook is binging and calling your name, and you click on, and it's just, oh, I just want to see one where, oh, look at that talking dog. Oh, that's so cute. And the next thing you know, you're checking your inbox and you're doing everything but the one task that you said you were going to focus on at the time. A purposeful technique to do is to remove your distractions. And we all know what they are. And sometimes we purposely seek them out. So remove the distractions. If it's something that you don't need to be on your computer for, then turn it off and disconnect. Turn off your phone. Turn off the electronics around you if that's possible, and really focus on it. If it's cooking a healthy meal and you keep procrastinating to go to the store to get the kind of food that you're looking for to do it, and the end result is you eat something unhealthy because you didn't go, then set the purposeful action in place to go and get the ingredients you need. And again, envision having it completed, and how would it feel? And how would it feel if you didn't have to have all of the, again, angst around it? And what's the real loss you have? What are the true costs of procrastinating to you? Are you seeing them? Because some of them are hidden. How's it keeping you from being who you want to be? How's it keeping you from accomplishing the goals you have set? And once you can start identifying that, you can start setting those purposeful steps in place to take action. So remove your distractors. Find the connection to why it's important to have that done in the first place. And then how does it tie to your core values of who you want to be and how you want to show up? Is it aligned or is it off? And if it's aligned, what actions could you put in place that will help align you to being more of who you want to be?
Oh, that's huge. A lot of us are aware of removing distractions, although we don't always do it. And as you said, what are the true costs? You know, how is it preventing you from being who you want to be? And one of the things that I was thinking, that came to mind when you said that was, as we call it, at least at IPEC, and a lot of other people know it as the inner critic, that little voice in our head saying, oh, we're not really worthy of that, or, you know, we're unlovable, or, you know, one of those things, that little voice that's kind of in there. We may not always be aware of it, but sometimes procrastinating is a way of that feeding that little voice. So it says, see, you're not worthy. You're really not a good person. You're really lazy, or you're really this, or you're really that, or you're really a mess, or something like that. So sometimes it's that little voice, or us feeding that little voice that we've been hearing maybe all our lives, or something, you know, at some point in our life made us feel that way. And so we've been, you know, as a child, that was our, you know, that little message that we gave ourselves, and we've been hearing that little voice all our lives. So sometimes that's what procrastination does. And I loved this really, I thought, was so key when you said, talked about core values. And sometimes, you know, understanding what our core values are, and then are we living in alignment? Is procrastinating keeping us out of alignment with our core values? And again, is this this task that we've set out to do, is that even, or this thing we're procrastinating about, is that, how does that fit in with our core values? And we could be procrastinating because it's not aligned with what's important. So there's so many things there to pay attention to, but so many wonderful tools there to help us understand why we're procrastinating, and then how to get past it, how to create action, how to get into action. So I thank you so much. It's such great stuff, Susan. Sharissa, I know you have some great stuff to add, so I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Oh, sure. I am just loving listening to both of you, because there's so much that came up for me that I can identify as you were going through those different scenarios and, you know, thinking through all of the reflective points about how is this working for me? How is it working for others? Like, what are the consequences of this behavior? And I love all of those things that Susan brought up, like aligning with values and all of those, you know, those kind of things that are so impactful and can really shed some light on the reason behind why we sometimes find ourselves in that place, and then that can help us to move forward. And then one of the other things I wanted to just add to that is also thinking about how it makes you feel in the moment. You know, like when you're procrastinating and you keep putting things off and putting things off, often we have the stress and anxiety and all of those things become triggers or really red flags for us to say, wait a second, why am I feeling so stressed and overwhelmed? I keep putting this off, and the more I do that, the more stressed I become. So that could be one of the reasons why you say, okay, this is just not working for me in this way, because I don't want to feel under so much pressure and stress, especially if there's other people that are depending on you for something like the work scenario that you both mentioned. And so, yeah, I think that's an important thing to do, is to reflect on that. And then also ask yourself, how is it showing up for me in other areas of my life? How is it impacting other areas? Maybe you have the problem at work and you recognize it, but sometimes we don't realize that what shows up for us in one place shows up for us, you know, in other places as well. And so if we can identify that and maybe look at the bigger picture and say, wow, this is really impacting various areas of my life, not just at work, then it can help us to take, you know, more effective action. But I think the very first thing that I would say as far as how do we, you know, how, if we identify that, yes, we are procrastinating and what do, is to forgive ourselves for not taking action up to that point. Because so much of that regret and remorse and all of that can really keep us stuck and just in a terrible state of mind. And that's going to prevent us from moving forward. So the first thing I would say is just forgive yourself for, you know, for maybe not taking action up to that point, and try your best to let go of that regret and to not beat yourself up about it. We don't get, you know, a second chance at the past, but we can determine how we move forward. And then the other thing I would say is that realize that everything happens for a reason. And this goes back to our belief system. What is it that we believe, you know, for any situation in our life? And so one thing that has helped me a tremendous amount is to realize that everything happens for a reason. So even if in the past maybe I put stuff off and it didn't happen the way that I wanted it to, or I didn't take action in time, whatever it is, if I can look at that and go, you know what, for whatever reason, it had to happen in that way, and at the end of the day, it all, you know, it's all going to work out, it's all going to be okay, then it helps me to release some of that and not have so much regret. So maybe it wasn't, like I mentioned in that example earlier, in that case, it wasn't the right time for me to take action. So, you know, like, give yourself a break mentally, because sometimes we beat ourselves up so much, and that can keep us stuck. And then the other thing I would say is that make a commitment to work on whatever that task is that you're procrastinating on for just 5 minutes. Like, maybe set a timer, set an alarm, and just give yourself 5 minutes. And often what happens is once you get that momentum going, before you know it, that task is going to be done, and you'll be feeling so much better. And I love what Susan said is, focus on the feeling that you're going to get once you're able to get this done. Think about why is it so important to get it done, what is it going to do for you and maybe others, and then focus on just that 5 minutes and commit to it for 5 minutes, and then, you know, see how that goes for you. And then another idea around that is creating some kind of reward for yourself, or maybe a consequence. So you set a deadline for yourself and you say, okay, I want to be able to complete this task by a certain time, and if I do that, then I'm going to reward myself. Or if I don't do it, then, you know what, there's going to be another consequence. And an easy example that comes up for me is trying to stick to a healthy meal plan. And so I've been trying to do this myself, and it's been an interesting journey trying to figure out how to stick to a good meal plan. But what I do is I say, okay, if I'm able to stick to this for the week, then on Friday I'll, you know, reward myself with a dessert or something like that. So create those rewards so that it incentivizes you to keep going. And then just a couple more points here. The next thing is breaking down that task that may seem overwhelming into manageable, like, bite-sized pieces, because this happens to me a lot, where I make a big deal out of it in my mind, and I tend to get overwhelmed. But really, if I just stop and write it down or maybe talk it through, I realize that it's really not that much. I mean, if I break it down into those smaller tasks, it doesn't become so overwhelming, and then I can prioritize and then move forward. And another key for me is having someone to hold me accountable to moving forward. That helps me so much. Rather than, you know, just being in my own mind, if I can reach out to someone, a coach or a friend or whoever it is, and say, hey, I really need to get this done. Would you hold me accountable to this plan and make sure that, you know, just help me and help me to get through this? That helps. And, of course, what Susan, I think you had mentioned this earlier, is setting up your environment for success. So whether that's getting rid of distractions, maybe you set a timer, you set an alarm. Maybe you get into a space where you know you can work really well and it's, you know, free from those distractions like you talked about. Whatever it is, just set up your environment for success so that you know that you're well prepared and you can focus on the things that you need to focus on. That was a very long answer.
Wow. No, I'm just saying, sitting here taking copious notes and thinking, I am so fortunate to have such great co-hosts, such brilliant co-hosts. That was some great stuff. Thank you so much, Charissa. I mean, first of all, just to really recap really quickly, you talked about, you know, how does procrastination, you know, the what you've been procrastinating about, how is that making you feel in the moment, and how is it affecting and reaching into other parts of your life as well? And, you know, just about the regret and the remorse and the guilt and all of that, you know, the shame, all of those feelings about having procrastinated on something and you're beating yourself up, and it can make you procrastinate more. So forgive yourself and so that you can move forward into action and, you know, let the past go. And then basically having a faith that everything happens for a reason. I had studied Kabbalah and for a while, and there was one of the teachers there had told a story about how he saw a woman at some party that he, you know, he wanted to go meet her. He saw this attractive woman across the room, and as he's walking, somebody bumps into him, and he spills either soda or wine or something dark all over his nice shirt, and he's humiliated and embarrassed, and he, you know, he doesn't go over to meet her. And sometime later, he meets someone else, and it turns out to be his wife, and he, you know, he finds out, you know, somewhere down the road that this woman would never have been the one that he wanted to meet through a series of just not events, but whatever. He discovers that the one he originally was hoping to go meet would never have been the right person for him. And had he gotten involved, you know, met her that night, it may have prevented him from meeting the woman that he was so happily married to. So that, you know, that comes into play with that everything happens for a reason. He was so humiliated and embarrassed that night. And then it turned out that was what was meant to be. So if we can have some of that faith when we think, oh, my God, what did I do? And we're beating ourselves up, and just forgive ourselves and realize, okay, everything happens for a reason. Maybe this was meant to happen. But it doesn't mean stay stuck and just continue to procrastinate, but that it releases you from that energy that can continue to keep you stuck and not produce anything positive. It serves no purpose. And then to create, to make a commitment. I love this because this was something that I had made notes that I was going to mention about, was breaking something down into steps. And he said, make a commitment even for 5 minutes. And I had worked with someone who wanted to, she had been a pianist and a singer, and she wasn't doing that now, and she really wanted to, we were talking, and she said, I want to practice an hour every day at both. And, you know, but she wouldn't accept anything less. And she couldn't seem to do it. She couldn't seem to get started. She couldn't seem to do it. It seemed overwhelming. So we broke it down into, you know, 5 minutes a week. And if she increased even by a week or even by a month, if she did 5 minutes a week, I mean a day, excuse me, 5 minutes a day for a month, and every month increased it, she would have her goal at the end of the year. The time was going to pass anyway, and it wouldn't even feel like she had done much work. Because she said, 5 minutes, what can I do in 5 minutes? That's not enough. I need to do more. I said, well, start it. You can always increase, but just that's your goal. So the time is going to pass. It's the same thing with losing weight. People say, oh, I don't want to lose a pound a week. Well, in 3 months, how many pounds is that? And the time is going to pass anyway. So breaking something down into steps is huge, as one of our political candidates would say, it's huge. And focus on how you're going to feel if you just commit and find yourself doing it. And there's this feeling of accomplishment, and it gives us a sense of inner peace, which is the antidote, or a great antidote, for stress and all of those harmful stress hormones. And you talked about creating a reward or a consequence for either creating this action that you wanted to create. And you said, again, you said breaking down the task into bite-sized pieces, making a list, and having an accountability partner. One of the things that I do, because I'm a big list maker, when I feel overwhelmed, and sometimes because of my brain injuries, sometimes I have, you know, I can get overwhelmed. And so I just found, okay, I make a list. What are all the things that I want to do, and or what are the things that I want to accomplish? And then I break it down into, okay, priority. So there are certain longer-term goals. I put those aside. What is essential? What you know, in looking at time management again and deadlines. And so breaking it down and then what has to be done today? What can I do today? And prioritize 1, 2, and 3 and basically put 3 of the most important things. And if I can, I don't have to complete the whole thing unless I have a deadline that is you know, really impending and immediate. But otherwise, what can I do? And as you said, sometimes when you say 5 minutes, you find once you get going, you're past that fear thing that's holding you back and you're into it. And you can sometimes find pleasure, you know, in actually doing something, or it's a lot simpler than this thing that's in the back of your mind weighing so heavily, and it just becomes, you know, talk about making a mountain out of a molehill, but that's sometimes what we do. Even sometimes just making a phone call to a bank or something becomes this huge effort that that creates a lot of fear in our minds. So that's very, very useful, what you mentioned, Charissa, about making a list and breaking down the tasks. So I love that. Thank you so much, both of you. You know, I don't know if there's anything else that either of you want to add to this discussion.
Not for me. I think I'm good.
Okay. How about you, Susan? Anything else?
Nothing else. I agree, Charissa. Great information that you shared just then. Wonderful.
Well, the both of you, I mean, such great stuff. Thank you both so, so very, very much. So my goodness, you know, I'm looking at the clock and the time, we're almost out of time. So this has been an incredibly wonderful and informative show today. I really want to thank my very talented co-hosts, Charissa Sebastian and Susan Gonzalez, for their insightful participation in today's show. And I'd just like to remind our listeners that procrastinating is actually a choice we make, whether we're aware of it or not. It's an avoidance tactic that often indicates that we're not living in alignment with our values, and that reviewing our values and our beliefs can help us make decisions that we may be putting off. Decision-making is a topic we covered in depth in our last episode of Think Tank, and for more information on decision-making, please check out the August 26th episode of Think Tank. I'm Jan Jaffe of Forward to Success, and it has been my privilege to have been your host today. I would like to offer our listeners a free 30-minute discovery session, and for more information, you can email me at info@forwardtosuccess.com. That's info at forwardtosuccess.com. I also want to remind our listeners that you're invited to share any comments or feedback on our website, and that website is http://www.lifecoachradionetworks.com. I have my own solo show, Your Best Life, on the second Wednesday of every month at 12 noon Eastern on this, the Life Coach Radio Network. On my show, I interview fascinating guests on many topics from all walks of life, and I would be delighted if you would tune in at noon Eastern on Wednesday, October 14th. And now I'd like to ask my co-host to share any closing thoughts and contact information. Charissa.
Thanks, Jen. Well, you know how I love to do quotes. So one of the quotes that I found that's relevant to this topic is by Paul, and I know I'm not going to say his last name correctly. It's Coho is my attempt at doing that. But he's the author of the book The Alchemist, so you'll probably know who I'm talking about if I say that. But his quote is, mm-hmm. One day you will wake up and there won't be any more time to do the things you've always wanted. Do it now. I just love that because it speaks so much to, you know, a lot of the situations that I've been in, and it's actually helped me to move forward as well. And I'd also like to let our listeners know that to contact me, again, you can reach me at charissasebastian.com, and my email address is info@charissasebastian.com. And if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, I would love to see you at our next Women's Spa Retreat coming up on October 10th. And I also would like to share with you a code that we're an offer that we're doing right now for buy one, get one half off. So you can bring a friend and pay half price for that second ticket. And that's on our website. You can find it at stopsmilebreathe.com. And then that code is half off. So thank you so much, ladies. It's been a pleasure as always, and I'm looking forward to our next show.
Oh, thank you so much, Charissa. And first of all, thank you so much for that quote. It is really timely, and oh my goodness, that I think I need to put that on my wall. So, and that is so true, because time just passes, and we never know. You know, when I hate to say this, we never know when our time is up. But yes, do it now. And that's been most people's regrets. Not I didn't make enough money, I didn't work enough, but I didn't, you know, do all the things that I wanted to do. I would have done more or had more fun. So, or followed my passion or traveled more or whatever. So do it now. I love that. And also, if you are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, I highly recommend working with Charissa and her partners on one of her retreats. They are so worthwhile. So thank you, Charissa. It's been a pleasure having you here. And Susan Gonzalez, please, do you have any closing thoughts and contact information you'd like to share?
This was such a pleasure, and I learned so much from both of you. So thank you for having me on the call. And yes, the message I would like to leave is put some passion into what you do and take the first step. Action makes it happen, so just get going. Forgive yourself for not doing it before, but remember now is the time, so don't waste it. You can reach me at susan@makeityourmark. And if you would like to learn more about the events and some of the services that I offer, the website again is makeityourmark.com. And there's information there if you're interested in purchasing my book. Here's my theme. It goes all the way through, you guys. The book is titled Make It Your Mark. It's easy for me to remember everything. And we have a live event happening in San Antonio. So if you're in the lovely San Antonio area, November 13th and 14th, it is our live Make It Your Mark training. So if you're someone that you're looking for some continued growth and development, you are looking to create the life you'll love living no matter what your age, that could be a great event for you to join us with. So it's 2 days, November 13th and 14th in San Antonio. If you want to learn more about the coaching services that I have or some of the group coaching, again, susan@makeityourmark.com, just send me an email and I'll be happy to get back with you.
Oh, thank you so much. And again, some great words to live by. Put passion into what you do, and action makes it happen. Another sign I think I'm going to put on my wall. So thank you so very, very much. This has been such a delight, and I'm so glad you've joined us, Susan. So I am definitely looking forward to working with you again, and of course, Charissa, so it's been a delight. Thank you both so much, ladies. And I want to remind our listeners that for all of the hosts, contact and bio information is listed in the show description in case you weren't able to get it or write it down during the show. So the contact information and bio information is listed in the show description for today's show of Think Tank. And I'm just going to take a moment to announce a few of our upcoming shows. On this, the Life Coach Radio Network, on September 26th at 10 a.m., Reveal Your Excellence with the on-camera coach, Renee Ellison. On October 14th at 12 noon, Your Best Life with Jan Jaffe, interview with Kyle Schoss. And on October 28th at 12 noon, the next episode of Think Tank with both Charissa and Susan Gonzalez. And that's Charissa Sebastian. And on our sister network, the Life Coach Chat Channel, this afternoon at 2 p.m., From Heartbroken to Hopeful, Learning to Cope with Life's Unexpected Setbacks. October 5th at 2 p.m., Holy Shift with Barb Heenan and Leslie Picchietti. And on October 6th at 2 p.m., Transform Your Life with Coach Tamara, First Lady to Lady Forgotten. And on our other sister network, International Life Coach Radio, on September 24th at 7 p.m., Guiding the Current, Your Power Over the Atmosphere Around You. And on October 5th at 2 p.m., Influential Connections with Amina, Interview with John Hart. I want to again thank my two wonderful co-hosts, Charissa Sebastian and Susan Gonzalez, for joining me today and making this show a special one. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.